What's up, you guys? I'm Haley.
And I'm Andrea.
And this is Inhuman, a true crime podcast. Welcome back, everybody. Happy, if you're listening to this in real time, happy week between Christmas and New Year's.
Yep.
You celebrate. That just feels like a
fever dream. We call this, we call this when you don't know your ass from your elbow week. So
I like it.
Because that's what it feels like.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. But I hope everybody is having a good holiday, whatever you celebrate. And I hope you are manifesting really good energy going into the new year, because that's what we're doing.
Yes, amen.
But with that, today we are talking about a very, like, crazy, bizarre case. I believe it was a suggested case, and I'm guessing it was suggested because it was featured on Netflix's Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh.
So somebody probably saw it and wanted some more. And I dug into all of the sources that I could find on this, but it's unsolved. And there's just not a lot of, like, there's theories that have come up, but it's like there's kind of one theory and that's all that's been shared about it.
Interesting.
So yeah, we'll get into all of it. It's a crazy one.
And you mean theories like from police or theories from like the public?
It's kind of both. So officially police don't go with this theory, but like technically they have mentioned it before.
Okay.
So it's interesting. You'll see. But with that, let's get into it. Two women with the same name were murdered in Houston, Texas within days of each other in late 2000.
Okay. I've been waiting for this case for weeks because I saw it on the list and I had never heard of it. And it is insane. Just seeing
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Was this a sad coincidence? Was it an eerie plan? Or was something more sinister involved in these two women's murders? This is the story of the murder of Mary Lou Morris and Mary McGinnis Morris.
I want to say, just knowing absolutely nothing about the case, it just can't be a coincidence.
I don't think it is. But okay, we'll get into it.
All right.
On October 12th, 2000, 48-year-old Mary Lou Morris left her home in Houston to head to Chase Bank, where she worked as a loan officer. This was a normal Thursday for Mary. Nothing was out of the ordinary that morning at home, and she headed to work as usual. She never arrived at the office, though, and her husband had been trying to contact her all day. By 5 p.m. and being concerned that he still hadn't heard from her, he called her supervisor at the bank, and that's when he found out that she had never made it into work. Now, keep in mind, this is 2000, so, like, cell phones existed, but it wasn't like it is today.
Rare.
Where you can, like, super easily, you know, text whoever you're trying to get in contact with. So he had been trying to, like, call her throughout the day, but hadn't heard. So he wasn't, like, super concerned throughout the day. But as the day went on and he still hadn't heard from her, he was like, this is kind of weird. So that's why he called her supervisor. And as soon as he heard that she had never come into work, he said, quote, "That's when I knew immediately that there was something wrong, because she didn't miss work." So Jay Morris reported his wife missing, but before concern for her mysterious disappearance could even really spread, a gruesome discovery would be made.
Jeez.
A man riding his ATV along a remote road about 3 miles from Mary's house came across a burnt car. And inside the car was a body.
Oh my God.
The body had been so badly burned that it had to be identified by dental records. Basically, there was one tooth that was found, and that's how they had to identify the body.
Oh my gosh. That is awful. Truly awful.
So terrifying. And not long, this basically, was not long after Mary was reported missing that the body was identified as belonging to Mary Morris. And because of the burns and the state of the car and the body, her cause of death could not be identified. But one thing was clear, she had been murdered.
Damn.
Mary's murder shocked the community. She was a loving wife and mother. She had no enemies, and she was friendly and outgoing. Everyone who knew her loved her. And unfortunately, the case kind of went cold almost from the start because there weren't any leads. There was very little evidence from the crime scene, and there were no witnesses or other forensic evidence to help investigators find a suspect, a motive. There wasn't much. While Mary's wedding ring and purse were missing from the car, there were several valuables that were still left, so police did not believe that robbery was the motive.
Interesting.
So no one knew why Mary had been murdered, and investigators had no clue as to who could have done it.
And murdered in such a horrific way, like to light somebody on fire.
Yeah. And we don't know. She might have been killed in a different way before, yeah. And then they lit the car on fire.
But, to get rid of evidence.
Right.
Yeah.
But still, it's just somebody did this very intentionally.
Yeah. It's very callous, I feel like.
Yeah. And then just days later, on October 16th, tragedy struck the community again. 39-year-old Mary McGinnis Morris was found murdered in her car on a remote road just a few miles from her house. Mary McGinnis Morris was just 9 years younger than Mary Lou Morris, and they actually kind of looked eerily similar. Like, they definitely didn't look identical, but they had, like, a lot of the same features.
Right.
While we don't know Mary Lou's cause of death, so we can't say for sure they died by the same manner, they were both found in their cars on a remote road not far from their homes.
Which is also too big of a coincidence.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was very strange that two women with the same name and same general appearance had been murdered in the same manner just 3 days apart. But the difference between the murders, this time police had a suspect. In fact, they had two suspects right off the bat.
Oh.
Mary McGinnis Morris was a clinic nurse in Houston. And in the weeks before her murder, she had begun to be kind of freaked out by a new coworker at the clinic that she worked at. So this was a male nurse, and he was just kind of giving her, like, creepy, weird vibes. She just wasn't thrilled with the way that they were interacting. It just, she was not there for it.
That's the worst, working with someone that you're,
but like, gives you the creeps,
uncomfortable with. Yes, because you have to see them, like, maybe not every day depending on your job, but
you have to, like, see, interact with them in a professional manner. Like, you have to be, you can't just kind of ignore them.
Yeah. Ugh, I hate that.
Yeah. So she told her friend Lori Gemmel that she was afraid of this coworker. And Lori asked Mary if she thought the man could hurt her, and Mary said, quote, "Yes, I do, and I think he could do worse."
Oh my gosh.
So sometime after that conversation happened, Mary stopped by the office one night to grab some papers when she found that things on her desk had been completely, like, randomly rearranged. So this was, like, photos turned the wrong way around, things in different places. So it wasn't just like somebody had, you know, gone through the desk to look for something. Like, this was an intentional, like, almost trying to freak somebody out.
Yeah.
And the creepiest thing was that on the desk was written, "Death to her." And she assumed that this was at her, and this male coworker was basically, like, retaliating against her, kind of not interacting with him, I can't think of the word I'm trying to use, but basically she wasn't giving him good remarks and saying how good of a worker he was and that kind of thing.
Like, he wasn't, and, like, she wasn't appeasing him, so he wanted to scare her into submission or something. Mm-hmm. Maybe not that, but, you know.
But yeah, exactly. So on her way home that night, after finding this desk rearranged and this creepy note on the desk, She called her husband, Mike, and asked him to get her a gun for protection. So he did. Mike taught her how to shoot the gun so that she could protect herself, and he stored it for her under the driver's seat of her car. But unfortunately, this would not help. On the afternoon of October 16th, Mary was on her way home from work when she stopped at a drugstore to pick up a few things. When she was at the store, she became freaked out by someone she saw, and she called her friend Lori, who later recalled, quote, "When she was in the drugstore, she saw somebody that gave her the creeps. She said to Lori, quote, 'I'm just going to run across the bridge, turn off my computer, and sign out of the building and go home.'"
No.
12 minutes later, Mary called 911. And during this call, Mary was attacked.
Oh my God.
The 911 audio has never been released because, according to Detective Wayne Coleman, quote, "It covers the attack that happened to Mary. And anybody that's ever heard that tape has just had their blood chilled listening to it. It's a very chilling, disturbing call."
Wow.
And unfortunately, authorities did not make it to Mary in time to save her life. She was beaten to death and then shot with that same gun that her husband had gotten her for protection.
Oh my gosh.
Her killer attempted to make her death look like a suicide by basically having the gun pointing at her. But fortunately...
Oh, did she beat herself to death too?
Right. Fortunately, investigators could tell that there were signs of a struggle. She had been beaten and she had attempted to fight back. So they knew right away that this was a murder.
Yeah.
After Mary's murder, investigators learned about this male coworker that had been freaking her out. Allegedly, he quit his job not long after the murder, after he was trying to discredit Mary, and then basically nobody was taking it. So they didn't explicitly say this in any of the sources that I read, but what it kind of seems like is like Mary was maybe reporting on his like things he was doing, or maybe she was just saying he wasn't like doing his job properly or whatever it may be.
Made him feel inadequate in some way.
Right. And he was trying to discredit her and say like, well, she doesn't know what she's talking about because XYZ, and they weren't taking it. So he quit. Whether your resolution is to save money, eat better, or stress less, HelloFresh is here to help you do all three. Say hello to your most delicious year yet with fresh ingredients and chef-crafted recipes at a price point you'll like, delivered right to your door. HelloFresh saves my family so much time by offering these delicious recipes from their quick and easy meal kits, which are perfect for busy nights, which we've had a lot of lately because, you know, six-month-old baby. This week, HelloFresh is offering a crispy falafel with pistachio couscous as part of their quick and easy meals, which can be prepared in just 15 minutes. Wow. And I don't know about you guys, but that sounds so good.
Yes, and I love me some couscous. Make saving time your breeziest resolution with quick, convenient recipes delivered right to you. All you need to do is choose your meal and select your delivery date. HelloFresh handles the meal planning and shopping. So all you have to do is open your weekly box of pre-portioned ingredients and step-by-step recipes to get cooking.
To try America's number one meal kit, go to HelloFresh.com/inhumanfree and use code inhumanfree for free breakfast for life. You'll get one breakfast item per box while the subscription is active.
That is free breakfast for life at HelloFresh.com/inhumanfree with code inhumanfree.
Sometimes when I don't feel like reading or watching TV, I just want to sit back and play a fun game on my phone. And I recently started playing June's Journey. And when I tell you I'm loving it, that is an understatement. I'm already on the fourth chapter and I've only been playing for a few days. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game, and I love it because it brings out my inner detective. You play as June Parker in the 1920s trying to solve her sister's murder. It's so much fun to travel the world of the 20s looking for clues that are indicating that June's family has some dark secrets. You also get to create and decorate your own estate island, which I loved because it made me feel really fancy and important. In my last chapter, I discovered a big family secret and there was an unexpected death, but I won't ruin it for you. You can discover your inner detective and play yourself by downloading June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. You can find the link to download June's Journey for free in the show notes of this episode. So police interviewed him, but they also interviewed Mary's husband, Mike, because, you know, husband's always a prime suspect.
Right.
Detectives were a little bit wary of Mike Morris when he first started talking to them. He told police that at the time of Mary's murder, he had been at the movies with his daughter, but he wouldn't let police interview his daughter to confirm his alibi. And I couldn't find how old she was at the time. Definitely under 18, because otherwise police could go to her regardless of what he said.
Right.
Now, the next two things that I'm going to say definitely don't scream innocent, but they also shouldn't be seen as an immediate sign of guilt, in my opinion. But Mike refused to take a polygraph test, and he hired an attorney shortly after Mary was murdered.
Okay.
So for the attorney part, the detective said basically something along the lines of, you know, people, witnesses don't hire attorneys, suspects hire attorneys. But that being said, if you're being questioned by police that are clearly suspicious of you, I can't really blame you for hiring an attorney.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of just a smart thing to do because you can be manipulated into things that you didn't do. You can be falsely accused of things. And they can, I mean, unfortunately that happens, you know, so you got to protect yourself.
Exactly. Mike said about the polygraph test, quote, I was on anti-anxiety medications. I was on antidepressants. I wasn't really sure that the polygraph examination that they were talking about could adequately compensate for all those conditions. So again, totally fair. I mean, I've said it before and I'll keep saying it. I don't think I'd ever want to take a polygraph test just because I'd be so anxious about it that I'd probably fail. So it's like, you know, and we've talked about how polygraph tests are not credible. They're inadmissible in court. But I feel like anytime you deny taking a polygraph test, people automatically assume that you're guilty.
Assume you're guilty. Yep.
So, like I said, I don't think these should be a telltale sign of guilt. But it is hard not to suspect at least some guilt when you also know that Mary had a $700,000 life insurance policy that her husband was about to collect on. And there were reports that they had been having marital issues prior to her murder. There were rumors of an affair between Mary and a family friend. But I also want to say that this has never been confirmed. This is basically something that police suspected, but it was never confirmed that this was true. It's never been confirmed that they even were having issues. So
yeah, and that doesn't make him a murderer.
Exactly.
I mean, people have affairs, people cheat, people get divorced all the time and they don't kill their spouses. So
yeah. And Mike Morris was a suspect, but he's never been charged with anything. Same with the male coworker. Now, with the male coworker, detectives have hinted that there is evidence against him, or they basically said there's evidence against him, but they haven't released what this evidence is. They haven't said, like, obviously this doesn't fully prove that he's guilty, because if it was, then he would have been arrested. So questionable about what that evidence might be.
Yeah.
And then there's also the question of the murder of Mary Lou Morris 4 days earlier. Because how much of a coincidence could it have been that two women with the same name were murdered in the same area so close together?
Yeah.
So that's when police began to suspect that the first murder may have been a hit gone wrong. So one of the things that led them to this thought was a phone call that was made. Shortly before Mary McGinnis Morris's murder, so the second one, Mike Morris, her husband, made a 4-minute phone call to her. But remember how he said he was at the movies? So that's right. Kind of weird. Now, he claimed that he was calling Mary to try to get a hold of her, but police speculated that he was actually calling her expecting the hitman to pick up. Mike tried to claim that the phone company was wrong about the length of the call, because if it was 4 minutes long, that means somebody picked up. And we know that Mary was no longer alive by the time the call was made. So how would it have been 4 minutes long if nobody picked up, if right. she was dead and couldn't have picked up? So that's why investigators believe that the hitman was basically supposed to answer Mary's phone. And that's what happened. And they like right. confirmed that it all went down. Detective Coleman said, quote, "I don't accept that Mike made this phone call and that the phone rang for 4 minutes. Because that's something that Mike tried to say. He basically said, the phone was ringing and ringing, and I didn't get like a voicemail message, so I just let it keep ringing."
No.
Detective Coleman said, "The question is, who answered the phone on the other end? And what did they talk about for the 4 minutes?"
Yeah, that's what I want to know. Because if she was already deceased, then whoever killed her was talking to him. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the only thing. That's the only logical, rational explanation for that.
Yeah. But despite the suspicion against him, Mike has maintained his innocence, saying, quote, "I had absolutely nothing to do with the arrangement of Mary's murder. It's a hurtful insinuation. It's absolutely untrue." And like I said, there has never been any physical evidence pointing to him at all. Everything has been circumstantial. Everything has been speculation. There is nothing that definitively points to him being involved.
Right.
Another reason why investigators suspected that it could have been a hit is because of how Mary Lou Morris's ring was taken off of her. So like I said, only her purse and her ring were taken from the car, but there were other valuables left in the car. So that was kind of like weird. Why would somebody take the ring and the purse but leave other valuables if they were robbing her? But apparently it's kind of a quote-unquote thing with hits that sometimes a hitman will take a wedding ring as sign of like they were the victim of a hit.
Interesting. Okay.
So it seemed to investigators that kind of that was what happened. A hitman had been hired by somebody to kill Mary McGinnis Morris, but the killer got it wrong and accidentally murdered Mary Lou Morris, and then had to correct it and went and murdered Mary McGinnis Morris.
That's a lot of M's.
It is.
But that would make, actually, that probably makes the most sense to me, because like I said at the top of the episode, it's just too big of a coincidence that two women with the same exact name who looked similar or had similar features were murdered so close together, unless it was a hit gone wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And wow. It, you know, it would make sense that they were killed by the same person because the crime scenes were similar. They were both found in their cars in remote areas. And the reason that the second one wasn't on fire could have been because the killer knew that she was on the phone with 911.
He didn't have time. Didn't
have time and had to flee. Yep. Like, they might have set the car on fire had it not been for that.
Yeah, I think
and
that.
We don't know how Mary Lou was killed, so she could have been beaten to death too, like Mary McGinnis.
Wow.
It also came out that between the two murders, an anonymous phone call to the Houston Chronicle was made saying that the murder of Mary Lou Morris was a mistake. So basically, at the time, this didn't make any sense because they were like, why would this call have come in? But then with this theory that it was a hit gone wrong, that actually makes sense. But this caller was never identified, so that lead couldn't really go anywhere. It just kind of fed into the theory of the hit gone wrong.
Right.
Now, of course, if it was a hit, who would hire a hitman to kill somebody?
My next question, yes.
Possibly the husband. Also possibly that coworker that didn't like her.
Yeah. Did they have connections to any?
Nope. And there was no physical evidence against anyone. There were no like connections that could have been made other than circumstantial, speculative connections. And they weren't able to identify who this actual killer could have been. Right. There were just no witnesses. There were no leads. There was nothing. So to this day, both murders remain unsolved.
Damn.
And despite the speculation of the murders being connected, officially, they are ruled to be separate and just a coincidence.
No.
But like I kind of said earlier, well, that's the official ruling. A lot of detectives have kind of, the main detective on the case has kind of said that he believes that it's connected.
Yeah. I mean, no offense to anyone who disagrees, but I just think that you have to be blind to
yeah.
Just, I mean, it just doesn't add up for me that they have the same name and they have similar features.
Appearance.
Like if it was,
and they were like killed in a similar way.
It just the name alone, just the fact that they have the same name alone is enough for me.
Yeah, because even if it was like a serial killer that had
a type. Yeah.
I mean, they were similar, but they were 9 years apart. So I feel like if a serial killer had a type, they'd be similar in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they had the same names and there were no other murders like this in the area, you know, if it was a serial killer that was going around, like there would have been other murders.
Yeah.
And the fact that the two that happened to be the same name, I don't think it's a coincidence.
I want to look up what they look like. So,
yeah. Yeah. And I'll post those pictures on our Instagram and Facebook so you guys can go look and see, because they really do. Like they don't look the exact same, but they have a lot of the same features.
Right. Which, oh, wow. They even have like curly, like dark mm-hmm. curly hair.
Yeah.
And like very, like more like smaller almond shaped eyes, like a pointier nose, thin lips.
Yeah. They look similar.
Wow, they do.
And Mary Lou's husband, Jay, believes that the two were connected.
Yeah.
So he says, kind of like we've been saying, the odds of two people named Mary Morris being killed in the same city within a few days of each other by coincidence are astronomical.
That's so sad. Gosh, just because you have the same name.
And I mean, I have to agree with him. The population of Houston, Texas in 2000 was 1.977 million.
Yeah.
So there's almost 2 million people in the city. And the two that happened to have the same name were both murdered just a few days apart in a similar manner.
No.
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 Additionally, because this was another thought that some people had, there's no evidence that the two Mary Morrises knew each other.
Right.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
There were two other kind of odd things that happened about 6 months after the murders. Mary Lou's husband got a bill for her phone card. So $2,000 had been spent using the card after Mary had been murdered. So he brought this to police and they were able to trace it down, and they traced it to a 16-year-old girl in Galveston, Texas.
Hmm.
She told police that her neighbor had given her the card to use. And when the neighbor spoke to police, she said that she had found it in a purse that she found in a convenience store parking lot the month before. And she basically said, I found this purse. It had this phone card in it. I gave it to my 16-year-old neighbor to use. When the neighbor gave the purse to police and they gave it back to Mary's family, nobody in the family recognized the purse. So this is all kind of weird because it's like, how did it get to Galveston? This was 6 months later, but the neighbor is saying she found it just a month before, so 5 months after the murders.
Right.
And it's not like the card had been used up until this point. So was it really just sitting in this parking lot for that long and nobody found it until then?
Doubtful.
Was it dumped there later? Was it?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very weird.
That. Yeah, that is really odd.
Around this same time, Jay Morris also received 3 phone calls from the same person asking for Mary. When he picked up and spoke to the person and the person asked for Mary, he didn't really know what to say. So he just said, she's not here at the moment. And then he gave the caller the number for the police department. And this man called the police department and was informed of Mary's death. And he just kind of said, oh, yeah, right. And then hung up. And this man never contacted Jay or the police again. And it says that they were able to trace the call, but yeah, they were never able to find the man. So I don't know if they identified him or if they just traced it to like a location. It doesn't say, but they said they never found the man.
Yeah, because it doesn't necessarily sound like he was involved if he was calling looking for her, but you would think that they would be able to locate the person if it was just some like random innocent guy. But
yeah,
if they had like a burner phone or they were using a payphone, because what, 2000, so people were very much still using payphones back then. So that
would make sense
for but, why they couldn't track him down,
right? But still just very weird.
Yeah.
Mary McGinnis Morris's sister Stephanie Ann Lohr said, quote, Mary lived life to the fullest. She was just very outgoing, very bubbly. She said, quote, not enough words really to describe her. I mean, she just really loved everybody. At work, anything a doctor would do, Mary did. She would work 14 hours a day and not think twice. Go back in the evening, weekends, whenever she was needed.
Wow.
Mary Lou Morris's daughter, Marilyn Blaylock, said about her mother, quote, she was one of the nicest people you'd ever want to know. She acted like she was 20. She was always going somewhere. She was always doing something. She never missed a day of work.
That's so heartbreaking.
Both of these women still do not have justice, and they both seem to be incredible people. Their lives were just taken way too early for no reason, and whoever did this to them has never been caught. In 2023, it was announced that a movie inspired by these murders was being made. Now, both of the daughters, or both daughters of both Marys, have spoken about this. They spoke to Entertainment Weekly. And they were both not thrilled about this being made.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
blame them. Mary McGinnis Morris's daughter, Marilyn, said that she was devastated when she learned about this. And she only found out about it when the trailer was released on Mother's Day.
See, that's disgusting, number one. Number two, if you're gonna, like, I understand what we do, it could cross this line too. Like, but when you're going into that much depth and you're, like, benefiting off of someone's tragedy to the point where you're broadcasting it on national news or national, like, broadcasting channels as a movie, and you don't have the decency to at least notify the families that it's happening.
And that is the difference with this too, is that this was like a comedy movie in theaters. This was not telling the story of what happened and the facts to get information out there. This was literally a movie inspired by it, but inspired close enough that it was very obvious that
this is what it was about.
And it was a comedy movie. It's labeled as a crime comedy.
How is it a I don't understand.
Yeah. So Marilyn said, quote, Mother's Day is a really hard time anyway. That it was bad timing is an understatement. It's very distasteful because we're still living with this. These women are staples in our lives. That was my mother. Initially, my reaction to the trailer was shock. I found it absolutely unbelievable because this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. And then to figure out that it was being done in a comedic format was really hurtful. To know that people are going to be laughing about it is a sickening feeling.
Yeah. I mean, that's like such a huge slap in the face.
Yeah.
To release it on Mother's Day. Like, whose idea was that?
No clue.
Yeah. It's disgusting.
Catherine Morris said that she is concerned about the way the story is being told and that it might perpetuate misinformation.
Yeah.
Because the way that the story is told in the movie is very much so based on the, like, husband hired a hitman, hitman killed the wrong person type of thing. And like I've said throughout this, there is no proof of that. And honestly, I don't even think I believe that to be true. I believe the hitman thing, yeah, but not, I don't see any evidence against the husband.
Yeah. I mean, you would think police would have come across something to point the finger at him if he was involved.
And they couldn't even definitively say that they were having marital issues. Like, they claimed that, but they couldn't even really prove that. So,
yeah. Which is unfair to even have it public knowledge if it's not even been factualized.
Proven. Yeah.
That's a word.
I think it is.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. But Catherine said that her father, Mitch, was also investigated as a person of interest. And her concern is, quote, for the way my father's character is portrayed, I worry that the movie will add to the misinformation that is already out there. Even though the movie was inspired by true events, the screenwriter reimagined it, giving the audience an ending that the real cases lack.
Hmm.
So Marilyn and Catherine ended up speaking with the filmmakers and producers after the trailer came out, and they apologized for any similarities between the movies and murders that upset the families.
But didn't do anything.
They still released it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They basically said that they were going to use this as a way to get the story out there, you know, bring more attention to the cases. But it's like, okay, you're doing that, but you're giving people an ending that is not true. So
it's a fictional comedy at that point. So you're not getting, you're getting your own story out there so you can profit from it.
Yeah. So they, Marilyn said, while I can't say that all of my fears were put to rest, I am hopeful that with their assistance, the real cases that inspired the movie will get the attention they deserve. But it's like, I, you know, it's great if the filmmakers are trying to spread information about the case now, but it almost is going to do more harm, because if you're associating the actual names, Mary Morris, the actual murder victims, with this, but then you're saying that the movie has, you know, an ending, the story has an ending, you're gonna lead people to believe that, like,
that's what really happened,
that's what happened, and it's not, or we don't know. But
yeah, and you're crucifying an innocent man because, or, you know, innocent till proven guilty man, because you know how people get, like, if they think that somebody is guilty of something. I mean, even just in the social media world, we've seen people get death threats, get dog, like, inflamed dog poop left on their doorstep, like crazy stuff. So who's to say that by doing that and leading people down that path of that's what happened and making it look factual because it's a movie and they can do that, they're putting a target on this man's back.
Yeah, they are. So definitely interesting. Both Marilyn and Catherine said their desire is to, quote, let people know the story behind the film and encourage people to offer any pertinent information. Marilyn said, we don't know what happened to our moms. We believe there is someone out there that has some answers, but they just haven't come forward yet. And she is still determined to find out what happened to her mother. She basically said she refuses to believe that this story will not have an ending. She is adamant that one day somebody will come forward with something and that her mom's case will be solved.
Yeah, I hope so.
If you have any information about the murders of Mary Lou Morris or Mary McGinnis Morris, you can contact the Harris County Sheriff's homicide detective, Jeff Thomas, at jeff.thomas@hctx.net, or you can call Crime Stoppers at 1-800-222-TIPS. Both cases remain open and unsolved to this day. people who have spoken about Mary McGinnis Morris and Mary Lou Morris have said how they were both just incredible people. It really seems like they were both passionate about what they did. They were caring and just were loved by everybody. And their lives were so freaking senselessly taken. And nobody has ever had to pay for what they did. But that is the unbelievable, crazy, heartbreaking story of the murder of Mary Morris and Mary Morris. And, you know, while it's like, oh, Mary Morris and Mary Morris, it's like, how crazy. This is a real case. These are real people who lost their lives and they deserve answers.
Mary Morris and Mary Morris. I'm sorry. I'm stuck on that. I just don't understand how that's made into a comedy.
A comedy. I know. Like you said, doing podcasts and doing TV shows on these cases and all of this is to some extent taking
it can be a slippery slope. Yeah.
And there are people who do it not great. But taking it and making it into a theatrical box office comedy and putting an ending to a story, but making it close enough that it's very clear that not only is it like inspired by this, but it's like basically taking the events of the actual crimes and putting that into the story. That's just not.
How is that even legal?
Smart.
Yeah.
Fortunately, it is. And, you know, hopefully some more people found out about the case by the movie, but I don't know how much good it did, and the fact that it kind of re-traumatized the victims' families just makes it that much worse.
Yeah, that takes away from the minuscule amount of good that it possibly did.
Yeah.
Because it re-traumatized the families.
Yeah, but, you know, that's why I wanted to share the actual facts of the case. We don't know if Mike Morris was involved. We don't know if this coworker was involved. I definitely could see the hitman theory being true, but we don't know. But I don't, while I think that that's true, I really don't see either of those as like definitive people who arranged the hit.
Yeah, because that's the problem that I'm hung up on, is like, who hired the hitman? Because if it wasn't the husband, and it, I mean, I guess it could have been the coworker.
It could have been if that person was really
unstable.
But like, yeah, we don't know. Yeah. But I mean, Mary McGinnis was clearly freaked out by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, it's just so heartbreaking. And it makes me so mad that there's no answers. I mean,
there could be a whole other part of the story that we just don't even know.
Yeah, you know, there very like well could
have
be.
Been being stalked. And then when this person made advances towards her, she shot them down. And then boom. Yeah,
that's true.
They wanted her gone.
Yeah. I mean, very well could be. Yeah. So it's so heartbreaking. It's so frustrating. And I hope that one day there will be answers. And I truly believe that this is one of those cases that can be solved. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you for helping us bring awareness to this case by being here, listening, sharing about it, anything you can do to help get the story out there. And, you know, we'll do anything we can to spread this more and get answers for the families.
Yeah.
But that's all I have for you guys today. We will have a brand new episode next week in 2024.
Yeah.
And
Happy New Year,
until then, keep it human.
Bye.